Good evening. Welcome to the Genoa Township Board of Trustees regular trustee meeting. The date is March 5th, 2020, and the time is now 6:30 p.m. A full and accurate account of this meeting's audio recording can be found at www.genoatwp.com. Mr. Meyer, would you do roll call, please?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt. Ms. Vaughn.
Here.
Ms. Goodman.
Here. Also present is Patrick Myers, our fiscal officer, Joseph Schaefer, who is our Director of Development and Zoning, Deputy Chief Chibali and Police Chief Gamble from Police Department, Chief Honeycutt from Fire, D.C. Ponzi from Fire, Township Administrator Paul Wise, and Human Resources Director Linda Greco. Leslie Strader, Director of Communications, and Director Bob Matthews will be joining us in a few minutes. At this time, I would ask Chief Honeycutt to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you. Okay. The first item on our agenda this evening are comments from county, state, and public officials. With us this evening is Angie Hamburg from the Big Walnut School Superintendent and Jeremy Buskirk, the Treasurer of Big Walnut Schools. If you'd like to come up to the podium, please.
And I do have to apologize for Angie. She had a personal situation that came up today. But I am very pleased to be able to be here with you guys tonight. Thank you for that introduction. I am Jeremy Buskirk. I'm the treasurer for Big Walnut Local Schools. And we are just a part of Genoa Township. We span six townships and three villages, or two villages. And we just wanted to be able to come out and talk with you as part of our community. One, let you know kind of what the issue is that's on the ballot for March 17th, and then just really be able to provide the information to our community so they're aware. One thing that it's kind of hard to believe that as we've been talking about this throughout the community for really about 2 months now, when we started talking about it, it seemed like it was a ways off. But now we are merely a little over a week and a half from March 17th. And it really is a very important issue for our district. It currently is a levy that we've been collecting for the last 10 years. It started out as an emergency levy in 2010. We renewed it as a substitute in 2015, and what is a little bit different this time, we are asking our community, as we have continued over that 10-year period, except for 1 year, we've seen constant growth over that period, and all projections show that we will continue to see that growth, as I'm sure you guys feel, and we see throughout Franklin and Delaware County. So over that time period, we've seen the growth, and we are asking our community to make it what's called a continuing or a permanent levy this time, just because it's 12% of our budget, and we do not anticipate any time in the near future that we won't continue to need this to operate. It goes towards general operations, so we're over 80% of what the schools do is its people. So if it were not to pass, then obviously we would have to have a lot of hard conversations and see what services we did not provide. We are optimistic, but again, just wanted to be able to come out, and I have three kids in our schools and firmly believe that a strong school district makes a strong community. And that's really, we just want to be able to answer questions, be able to provide this information, and let people know that this is not a new tax forum, and that it will continue to go towards just making a strong community and a strong school system. And if you have any questions.
Board have any questions?
I just want to thank you for coming. I did attend a coffee chat with Angie in January.
Okay.
So I got the full lowdown then.
You got the much longer version than just the quick one, yes.
Yep. Right. So thank you.
Jeremy, you said this is 4% of your overall operating budget.
Yeah.
So the other, how many other levies do you have making up the other portions of that?
That's a great question. So we have technically four levies that have been approved by our community. We have, if you want to consider inside millage a levy, we also have that. But we have one that was passed in 1976, one that was in 1985, and then a income tax that was made continuing, I believe it was in 2005, but began in 1995. So we have those. We have the income tax and then the two continuing operating levies, and then this one would be the fourth of those. So we have the four in total is what we have. And then we do have a bond levy and a permanent improvement levy. That in 2017, we did have the bond levy for our new schools, which are, it's exciting to see that process occurring. And if all continues to go well, this is wood, right? If all continues to go well, weather permitting and everything that goes with construction, we'll be opening Prairie Run Elementary School for the 2021 school year, so this one coming up. But those levies also are being collected.
So the other levies that you mentioned as mm-hmm. being permanent, this would put this 12% in line with the other permanent.
Correct.
Levies.
Continuing
so this
to
isn't
be permanent.
A new idea, a new concept.
No.
This is something that's actually, it would make everything consistent.
That's correct.
As I recall, this is a levy that is not going to cost taxpayers any additional money. Is that correct?
That is correct,
okay.
Yes.
It's just the difference being five-year versus continuing is the main change.
That is correct,
okay.
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here this evening. We appreciate the information.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Uh-huh.
Good luck.
Okay. Public comment. Please remember that any public comment is limited to 3 minutes. If you would like to make a comment, you will need to come to the podium and state your name and address as we are recording this. Anyone wishing to make public comment? Seeing none, we will pass that section and go over to the fiscal officer's report.
Okay.
And I think there's some swearing in to do.
Yeah, if we could do that, I'd like to get that done before April 1st.
Before you do anything else?
Part of taking office for my next term, April 1st, is present the trustees with my bond, my $250,000 bond, which I have here for you, notarized by the insurance company. And then I need to be sworn in for effective April 1st, so I would ask Ms. Goodman if she would do that for me.
I would be honored to do that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. look forward to four more years. So, thank you. Now I do have some business for you as well. I would ask for trustee approval of the following meeting minutes: January 2nd, 2020 reorganizational meeting, February 6th, 2020 regular trustee meeting, February 20th, 2020 special trustee meeting, and February 26th, 2020 special trustee meeting.
I move to approve the following meeting minutes: January 2nd, 2020, a reorganizational meeting; February 6th, 2020, regular trustee meeting; February 20th, 2020, special trustee meeting; and February 26th, 2020, special trustee meeting. Is there a second? Thank you. Any discussion?
I had a correction to the February 20th minutes. I had sent an email to Donna. Probably after she left.
Okay.
You had four trustees voting on a motion. We only have three.
Let me see if she received and corrected it.
It's probably because the computers were down and everything.
Probably.
It's been corrected because all have three.
Okay.
The executive session.
Yep.
Yep. All have three now.
Perfect. Yeah, you're right.
The official copy. Is that it?
I believe so.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries.
I'll have the financials for you. These are reconciliation January 31st and balances of $26,456,149.95. We're doing some movement of money. We are having when I say movement money, we're putting some additional monies in investments. We're having a meeting next month, an investment meeting. Brian's going to come in to go through things as we were going to do it a little earlier, but things have been a little volatile lately. So we're kind of just sitting down. You know, interest rates are not going in our favor right now, obviously. So I'm glad we're in a situation that we were able to, as a township, look at locking some money into some longer term things that gave us some better return with still having liquidity if we needed it. So we're fortunate to be in that situation and still be able to take advantage of the rates that we have out there today, because the Fed keeps lowering the rates and that hurts our rates. So we'll continue to look at it, continue to evaluate it with Fifth Third and the committee. Yeah. And I'll have those for your signature. And lastly, I need the records retention meeting needs to be set annually. April 2nd, before the trustee meeting, takes about a half hour. If we could just meet, there's only a couple changes Donna wants to show everybody on the retention policy. If we can do that at, say, 6 o'clock the night before, that'd be okay? Take a motion to set that meeting would be great.
Absolutely. I will move to set a records retention meeting for April 2nd, 2020 at 6 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Okay. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Passes. Anything else this evening?
Not from me.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, we will go into trustee comments. One of the things we do each year, and this year it is in March, is the State of the Township Address. It is my pleasure and honor as board chair to give this address on behalf of all of the trustees. We're going to do it a little bit differently this year. So I would ask that you direct your attention to the screen to my left, your right.
Progress and the site. A final step
that's the state of the township for this year. It will be posted to Facebook and our website tomorrow morning. So if you have anyone that is interested in watching the video and listening to it, Ms. Strader will be doing that. My special thanks to all of the folks that helped us make that. Some of them were stock shots. Others we gathered in the office today to fill in holes. So we appreciate everybody who worked with us. And my special thanks go to Leslie Strader, who's hiding in the kitchen. She did this. We started at 11 o'clock yesterday. We learned a lot. You might have noticed a little bit of jerkiness in there. We learned one of the things is that because we are working wireless, it is not as smooth as it would be if we'd have had a hardwired setup. But I think we've moved to the next level. I truly appreciate everything she did. So my special thanks, Leslie. So, all right. With that, I have no other trustee comments. That's enough from one person. Trustees Gephardt and Vaughn, what do you have to say?
Well, I can't possibly top that. Nice job. Nice job, Connie and Leslie. That was great. I just wanted to mention the egg hunt because it will happen before our next trustee meeting. It's March 28th at the Westerville Central High School Stadium football field, and I want to thank all of the volunteers who have offered to fill eggs and volunteer the day of that event. And Linda, I had contacted Linda to see if she needed any help, and she said she has it. So it's awesome that we have so many great volunteers that it's just all of the tasks that need to be completed are going to be completed. And also, I want to thank all of the residents who have submitted an application to volunteer on a committee in the township. I have a new appreciation for that task of assigning people to the committees because it is daunting. So it's awesome that we just have so many people in our township who want to get involved. That's all
thank
I
you.
Have.
Thank you, Connie. Taken it to the next level. Thank you. I also want to thank, and I think a lot of those aerial shots were Brett Watson.
Yes.
Brett has been using, along with Leslie, his drone, and he loves doing it, and I think it definitely gives a different perspective at Genoa Township, and I think that's just another example of our residents who have a multitude of skills and talents that we need to be. Just a note, you know, it's 50 degrees today, 52 yesterday, going to be in the 50s, which is great. But I was coming through a neighborhood, followed the car, and down a driveway comes a little guy with his hockey stick and hockey skates on, roller skates, and he just hasn't learned how to stop yet. And little guy came right out into the street. Fortunately, the car ahead of me was going at an appropriate speed. I think saw him and was able to make a stop. And little guy was pretty rattled, as was the person ahead of me, as was I. And so I think it's just a caution to everyone, a reminder that, you know, as the weather is improving, people are out more, the kids are out in the neighborhoods, the bikers are going to be out on the roads. I saw a bunch of bikers today up on the corners. And it's great to see, but it's also something that we just really have to pay attention to. I know there's some legislation regarding distracted driving in the State House right now, and there's a lot of different ways that we can become distracted, but as the weather improves, we just need to be 100% paying attention when we're out there driving.
Thank you. Points well taken. All right. With that, we will move on to administration. Mr. Weiss.
Good evening, trustees. This evening, I have the pleasure to announce a guest with us. This evening, we have the executive director of the Westerville Public Library with us. And over the last year, we have been in discussions with Aaron Francoeur about some potential collaborative efforts that we can combine together as a township in the Westerville School District area. And so with us this evening is Erin Francoeur, a township resident. I'd like to invite her up.
Hi, I am a resident of the township, but I'm representing the Westerville Public Library tonight. One of our prime initiatives as a library is expanding access to our resources and information in our service area. The Westerville Public Library serves the Westerville City Schools portion of Genoa Township. And so we're looking for ways that we can get more information out into the public, get our books to people, but also get more access to internet. So one of the things I'm really proposing tonight is that we partner with Genoa Township and put Wi-Fi in your parks. The first project would be, after kind of looking at all the different parks, the easiest park to start with would be Freeman Park, because there's an existing structure where we could attach Wi-Fi equipment if you're so interested. But we would really think it's important, even in this day and age when everyone has a cell phone and everything else, not everyone has Wi-Fi in their homes, or not everyone has internet. So being able to provide a public place where people can access the internet is very important to us. Questions about the project?
I had the pleasure to meet with Aaron and a couple of the folks from the Parks Committee and Mr. Wise. We talked about this, and you know, there are thoughts that go along with this. I am absolutely personally in favor of this, but you know, we talked a little bit about some of the concerns there might be, and we did learn that we can shut this down when our parks are not open. So it would be a dawn to dusk kind of thing, roughly.
You
know, the problem is daylight savings time. But you know, it wouldn't be overnight, and it would not be encouraging people to be in our parks in hours where our police would have to be patrolling it more.
Right. I could clarify there that we would have all the same filters that we have when you come into the library would be in effect on the Wi-Fi. So, you know, we can't guarantee that material that we don't want to see might not get through, but the intent would be the same as the same kind of filtering we use in the library. We can't do dusk till dawn because it changes every day. However, we could do summer hours, winter hours, or change the times depending on when the community is comfortable with having that access available. That what we're talking about, what could actually be installed, is a piece of equipment that's not really large. It would need some kind of protective case. We wouldn't want it just sitting out, or it'd be too tempting to steal or break. But you know, if the trustees are interested, we would love to start with Freeman Park and then potentially move on to other parks in our service district if you're interested. You know, longer term, we're interested in any other kinds of collaboration as well to bring more library materials up to this community. With being the one location down in Westerville, we don't feel like we're serving Genoa Township as well as we could be.
Questions? Go ahead.
Aaron, that's exciting. Paul had mentioned a little bit about this possibility. Are there any parks in Westerville?
The Westerville, it provides Wi-Fi in a few of their parks. We aren't currently seeking out putting Wi-Fi in the parks in Westerville, just because our really strategic initiatives are to get our service out to the further parts of our school district or our service area right now. We feel like we're serving Westerville pretty well, and we want to start doing a better job in the parts that are further away from our branch.
And again, you know, my knowledge of this stuff, probably ought to have my grandsons ask the questions, but access to the Wi-Fi, I mean, is there going to be a password? Is there going to be...
No password. Something. We would have a library landing page that we would like, so that people, you know, at least see that it is sponsored by the Westerville Public Library. It could put Genoa Township, you know, information on there as well. So that would probably be the only. There shouldn't have to be any password. It's public.
Comment. I was in the library, and it's been a while, unfortunately, just the other day. And I tell you, you've done some amazing things there. It's
quite
the facility. A lot more than it was 20 years ago in Westerville.
So. I can't take credit for all that. I've only been there about 3 years. But
no, it really is very, very nice, and it's a great asset to the community. Thank you.
I had a couple questions. Where do you have a spot now picked that you would mount this device?
It would be in the shelter area. So probably somewhere up in the rafters. We would work with Township Administration and Parks Department to figure out the best locations, and we would probably have to bring in whichever provider we ended up using would probably have to bring in cable or whatever to run to it. But so we would coordinate all of that if you're interested. With
and how far is the range supposed to
spread? We would try to limit it to the park. There would probably be a little bit of overflow. You might get a few homes that might get some free Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. I doubt they'd complain. But we but we would try to make sure that you there's a little bit of control in the spreads. I'm not the IT person, so but he could tell you more about that. But it would be mostly within the park. There might be a little bit of home spread on the outsides.
Okay. Thank you.
So unless the trustees have objections, I would ask Mr. Wise to work with the library, see what we can do with this, move forward, and keep us in the loop, anything you need from the trustees. Okay. Good.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Paul, when are we, what's the kind of a timeline are we anticipating here? Oh, I'm sorry. Probably should have waited for
this.
Yeah.
I won't leave then.
No, that's all right. I guess as far as the timing of all of this, what would you anticipate?
I think we just have to coordinate installation, really. We have at least one provider who's responded for this. We would probably just pay for this one, and then we're looking for potential grants and other opportunities that might support spreading service further. But I would hope that maybe sometime this spring we could have it up in operation.
Great. Right. Thank you.
This is one of a lot of opportunities that we've talked about the other day at our meeting, so we're anxious to get going with it. Second up on my agenda is purchase order for Parallel Technologies. Over the last, I'd say, year, a group of township employees of the tech-savvy nature have been meeting, receiving proposals, and interviewing firms to enhance our telephone system. And so over the last year, we've probably met with five firms, some of them large, some of them smaller. And we priced them, we came back, we discussed in the group, and we wanted to make the best decision for the future of the township, for our trustees, for all the department, in a system that will last another decade or more. The current system we bought probably was about 12 years ago. The server is in poor condition that we are utilizing that for the phone system. And just this past month, we've had three of the headsets give up on us. So I think we're acting appropriately. I think the systems is going to keep nickel and diming us until we act, until we do something. So we finally came across the firm that came recommended by Delaware County. All the county offices use the Parallel Technology system. The system is also utilized in Orange Township and Liberty Township, and they speak highly of the phones and the system that they purchased through there. Townships. So this evening, I'd like to recommend to the board that we move ahead with the purchasing of the phone system through Parallel Technologies. One of the purchase orders, we had a blanket already in place from the fire department. And so you'll see that the price of the price of the firm itself is different than the purchase order needed this evening. 1 minute. The phone system complete is $49,398.03. And currently I'm asking the board this evening for a purchase order of $30,873.78 to take care of the police, maintenance, administration, and zoning offices who do not have a purchase order in place at the current time.
I will move to approve a purchase order to Parallel Technologies, Inc. in the amount of $30,873.78 for a township-wide phone system. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. And discussion?
Yes.
Our current system appears to be tied in with our internet.
Yes.
Will this system also be tied in?
This will also be tied in with the internet system. So, and it'd be, in addition, we'll be having other tech savvy enhancements that will enable us to react better as a township. And a lot of our system now, we've been limited due to the age of the system. And so, yes, to answer your question, it'll do everything it does now. It will be able to email us our phone messages if we're off site. It will be able to do all the functions that the regular system has, plus more.
And we are scheduled, this was one of our goals.
Yes.
How does this, and I don't mean to get too deep into the weeds on this, but, you know, we've got to figure out a way of addressing our entire systems going down. You had mentioned even today that once we convert over to the county system, that that's going to help us.
Yes.
So that will help us not only with our internet and our computers, but obviously now with also the phone. So
this,
some of the challenges we've had in the past.
We've had issues in the past as a township, because once we purchased the phone system a dozen or so years ago, we were responsible for the maintenance of the system in case it went down. If we utilized this new phone system and the county is able to work with us with the system being brought into play, they have the ability to maintain this thing for us in case the system goes down. So it will have a warranty to cover us in case of any parts, failure, et cetera. But the service itself, Steve Lewis and George Kitesa said that this system is something that they're very familiar with that is able to be worked on through the county system. And along with our other IT enhancements that we're planning, a lot of the server space that they're offering us, there's adequate server space, more than we'll ever use. And also, they're going to have off-site storage at different locations. And I think one's at Delaware County and one south of county line, and another site in Worthington that they utilize in case of some catastrophic event with a tornado or something.
Hey, Paul, just as a comment to Carl, once you go to the county, they're connected to the county, now not only do you have the connection here, you have the county connection, so you have that redundancy. So if something happens to your internet connection here or there, we would become backup. That would be the primary. So you're going to have a redundant separate feeds for internet, so you're going to have backup. So that's going to help. Right now, you're on a single line internet, it goes down, and you're down. We'll have redundancy once it goes to the county.
What are we looking at as far as a time frame for installation of this? Because we've been down for a while now, and hopefully back.
Once we approve the purchase order, I'll let the vendor know that that the board has approved it. We could begin the purchasing of the equipment necessary for the conversion, because the latest I heard when I was on vacation last week was the county is coming in within 30 days and going to do her conversion. So we're anxious for that to happen, and we'd like everything to happen, you know, in unison while they're here. So,
what negative feedback have you gotten from Liberty and Orange?
Do you
recall any negative? I don't recall any
negative
feedback. No, in
fact, no issues.
Some of the enhancements are, you know, with the ability to see township-wide if someone's on a line. I mean, there's more things that they can tell from, I don't have to keep calling the chief's office, waiting for him to get off the phone and things like that. You can actually see who's busy and who's not busy. And
okay.
It's easier to forward calls on.
We're a party line right now.
Pat, yep. Nobody knows what that is.
We do.
So does any, you're talking about things that it can do. Training, is there anyone
yes.
that shows us how to use this thing?
Yes, they'll be on site to train us.
Okay.
You know, I think the only thing that I priced to keep it a little cheaper, we would take it out of the box and set it up on the desk. So That was one of the things they asked that we would do, so we could handle that small thing.
Okay. Any further discussion?
They would offer training on some of the, how to manipulate some of the functions.
Well, I would assume that we're going to transition the current police department over to the system, then once the new building,
yes,
that's factored into this.
Yes.
Anything else? Mr. Myers?
No.
Roll call?
No, I was thinking about a question about it. It was a question they had, and I was going to ask, and I think it was answered.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes, motion carries. Yay, we're getting new phones.
Thank you, Board.
All right. And next up is police, Chief Gamble.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to do my presentation from down here because I have a lot of materials.
Sure.
So I'm going to start off with tonight I would like to share with you my projections for the 2021 to 2025 levy, police levy, which will be on the November ballot. I'll start off with the headlines, the good news. I do not see a need to increase our millage, our taxes at all, so no increase in taxes. I will present you with reasons to either stay with our current millage or make a slight decrease. So just for some background, our current millage is 4.6 mils, and it was passed in 2015, and was structured as a 3.8 mil renewal and 8.8 mil increase, and it passed by about 63% of the vote. Each mil currently brings in about $986,000, which for us equals $4,535,298 in 2020 revenue. I also checked and found that from 2011 to 2019, our expenditures have increased an average of 2.5% annually. So I've provided you with a number of spreadsheets that show a lot of different scenarios. I want to give you as much information as possible to make your decisions. All of these spreadsheets are at our current staffing levels with no new technology like body cameras, drones or anything else, except for the very last spreadsheet. So the first spreadsheets I'll go over with you are just status quo as far as staffing and any new equipment. They also don't take into account any new utility or other expenses for the new facility because we don't know what they may be, so we don't know how much those may increase or stay the same. So pages 1 to 3 show you projections at our current 4.6 millage at annual spending increases of 2%, 3%, and 4% respectively. I'm not going to go through each one of them. I'd rather just do one to give you an example. So let's turn to page 2, which is up on the screen, which shows our current millage at a 3% annual spending increase. And you'll see that at the top it says revenues assumed at renewal increase of 0.8 mils for a total of 4.6 total mils. You'll see in 2020, we started off with a carryover balance of $6,678,035. And that carryover is high. The reason why it's high is over the last 5 years, the medical costs, thankfully, have not been as high as we projected. They've gone up, they've gone down, but in the last several years, they've gone down dramatically, and I think that's due to good work by Linda in the HR office in finding good insurance and also a decrease in usage. The other thing is the levy budgets us at full staffing, and over the last 5 years, we've never been able to maintain full staffing consistently. So those two factors are the main increase of why the carryover is so high, because 82% of our budget is personnel-related costs. So you see our levy revenue this year, $4,535,298. Other sources, $104,250. Some of that comes from reimbursements for our SROs' salaries. The schools reimburse us money from fines and money from other sources. The projected expenses, $4,290,680 is what you approve for appropriation. And we're transferring $250,000 over to capital for new vehicles and also for the soft costs for the new police facility. So let me scroll over here. If you look at the carryover, if we stay constant, the carryover at the end of the levy, this last section right here, would be, at a 3% increase, would be $5,893,946. Now, traditionally, the trustees have wanted that carryover to be no more than 50% of the next year's budget in case the levy wouldn't pass. So you can see we are over 100% more than the budget for the next year. So we're still high in the carryover. So with that, I also looked at what it would look at with different millage rates of a decrease. So pages 4 to 6 show three different millage rates, 3.8 mils, 3.9 mils, and 4.0 mil, still with each assuming a 3% annual increase in spending. So what I'd like you to do is turn to page 5 in your sheet, which is now up on the screen. And let me scroll this over a little bit for the audience. So if we were to do a renewal of 3.8 mils and an increase of 0.1 mil for a total of 3.9 mils, we're a bit under that 50% carryover here for 2026. So that seems to be too much of a reduction. So I'm going to show you another sheet in just a second. I have to scroll here. Okay, next, we have talked about potentially increasing the number of police officers over the next 5 years to keep up with the growth of the township, calls for service, and to increase our traffic enforcement. And some of that was projected on new development in the area and in the surrounding areas where we may wind up responding to calls for service. So this spreadsheet assumes increasing our staffing by one full-time officer in 2022, and another in 2024. And again, assumes 3% total increase in expenses per year. And if we do that, add those new officers, you see at the end of 2025, our carryover is just under 50% of the budget. Now, when I looked at this, the reason why I said add additional officers in 2022 and 2024 and push it out a little bit is if we get into a situation where our medical costs go higher or there's unexpected and unanticipated costs, like with the new police station, we have some cushion there. We could delay or postpone hiring those new officers even. So it gives a little bit of room there. So that's your page 8 in your spreadsheet. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that ahead of time. So I presented all of these figures last night to the Police Advisory Committee, and they had a really good response. They said they were confident in whatever millage the trustees picked that they felt was appropriate for the police department and community. They did say that they felt we may have an opportunity and should explore addressing the large pay disparity between our department and other similar departments like Westerville. And this has been discussed before. We do know that Westerville is actively recruiting some of our officers to join them, and they're offering incentives. And to give you an example of some of the pay disparity, here's some of the current salaries between Westerville and Genoa. Top step police officer in Westerville makes $23,216 more than a Genoa officer. Sergeant makes $27,065 more than Genoa officer, and the lieutenants make $30,035 more than our lieutenants. The Westerville officers are wonderful officers. Our officers are every bit as good and as competent and trained as they are. There's nothing they do in Westerville that we don't do as far as for calls for service. The dangers our officers face are the same dangers they face in Westerville. The types of calls are the same. Nothing really changes just because you go north of Maxtown Road. So I'm going to summarize by saying that although I believe there can be a good argument to decrease our millage by a slight amount, I think it would be prudent to discuss leaving it at the current millage to allow us to look at raising our officer salaries to be competitive with similar jurisdictions and increase staffing to provide a higher level of service to the township. One of the biggest threats to our department right now is to be able to recruit, hire, and retain high-quality police officers. So I assume and I would recommend that you not make a final decision tonight. Instead, take the sufficient time you need to review and discuss all the possible scenarios. So with that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Question? Does Westerville have an issue maintaining their department?
They had a large number of retirements in the last couple of years, so they are aggressively hiring. And I know they've approached some of our officers.
But they don't have people, younger officers, leaving to go elsewhere?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't know of anyone leaving there to go anywhere.
Not to the extent you do?
They're definitely not leaving there to come here.
I think it was more, are they leaving there to go to Columbus somewhere?
I haven't heard of any examples of that. And same with departments, similar departments like Powell, Dublin, Hilliard.
You mentioned a little bit about kinds of activities, that they're very similar in Westerville and Genoa Township.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that there's a huge difference when we talk about Columbus versus either one of the other entities.
And I think the main difference is just volume of calls. You know, I mean, the domestic situations, the mental health crises situations we're going are all the same, all the same dangers on traffic stops. The training's the same. It's just the volume of calls.
Mm-hmm. Trustee Gephardt?
Yeah, Steve, on page, I think I understand 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's basically everything you're saying as far as the public.
Right.
So then you get into page 4, just the 3.8 without the 0.8.
Yeah, if we just went back to the straight renewal that we had and no increase that we did in 2015, you can see at the end of 2025, we would be well below the 50% carryover.
Right. So then the next would be, we would assume the renewal would be 0.8, but then an increase of 0.8.
To take it up to a total of 3.9 is the next page.
So it's still a reduction from the 4.6.
Yes, it would be a reduction of 0.7 mils. And then the next one is 4.0, just a straight 4 mil. And in that case, then we're above the 50%.
So would we, if we were to put, when we put this on the ballot, so let's say on page 5, and I'm not proposing it, I'm just using this as an example, we would have a renewal of 3.8 and then a
1.1
increase as opposed to going to a 3.9 renewal.
I believe that to be the case because what happened last time, as they said, with the 3.8, the base 3.8, you get the 12% state rollback.
Exactly.
With any increase, then you don't get the rollback. So
right.
If you just would have gone to a replace and replace
that.
It with a 4.6, you wouldn't have got any 12% rollback. So you've got to keep the base at 3.8. Anything then above that is an increase.
Yeah.
So the wording on the ballot is kind of confusing, but the bottom line is, for example, going from a total millage of 4.6 to either 4.2 or 3.9, I mean, that's the total. I don't know what the incremental savings would be annually to a taxpayer per $100,000 if we went from 4.6 to 4.2. Obviously, we would get those figures. So I any savings, any money back to the taxpayers is a good thing. But I don't know what those specific figures are.
Yeah, I appreciate the numbers. Actual accounting of
Right.
And, you know, while it's difficult to project the future, I think you guys have good basis on which to look. But I don't want to get to the point where, you know, several years ago, I think there was some serious reductions in levies, and it was just difficult to make that up. But on the other hand, if there's a way we can be saving taxpayer money or reducing this cost anyhow,
sure.
Well, and in that same vein, I appreciate your honesty when you talked about page 8 and the 4.2 total mills. You talked about hoping to be able to add an officer in 2022 and 2024, but leaving that as an option should that money be needed elsewhere, you know, if
right.
medical costs go up or something else happens. So the fact that there's some flexibility in there, I think, is truly important. I, too, am not ready to make a decision tonight.
Sure.
I need to kind of sit over my morning coffee and
yeah.
look at this. But we also can't dilly-dally too long on this
sure.
because we have to get our resolution of necessity and all these next steps out there. So hopefully by next month we can be prepared to take action.
Yeah, I appreciate the heads up as well. Is there a way you can get a ballpark figure for the cost of running the new police facility? Could the architect help you? Could you reach out to a similar facility
yeah.
somewhere?
And
that
I think
would be helpful.
We were going to reach out to Petasco. I don't know if we ever
right.
get the numbers back from them or not, because they just opened up a new facility.
Right.
They're coming on, I think, towards probably at least 6 months they've been in there.
Okay.
So we might be able to do – we should be able to get some projections.
Okay.
Again, for example, utilities, water and sewer, we're going to have more bathrooms and more, and actually have showers, so that cost I would anticipate is going to go up. Electricity probably go up because we're sharing costs with fire right now when they let us turn the lights on. Yeah, big extension cord. So, yes, but we can try to get
okay,
some.
That would be, yeah,
yes.
We do have at least a couple of members, I think, of the Police Advisory Committee here. I don't know if you would want to hear any thoughts or comments from them relative to what they...
They're not on the advisory. The McHales are not on
That's
the
right. You're not on that anymore. You're on the Alumni Association. So I guess we don't have anyone here. But,
okay.
All right.
But it is important that we had some feedback from them, and we appreciate that. Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
All right, I'm going to move right to one of my other items, and that's the purchase order for new vehicles. I'm going to request approval to purchase 3 marked vehicles in 2020 to replace 3 current vehicles due to age, high mileage, and increasing maintenance cost. I'm requesting a purchase order to Lebanon Ford for $107,100 and another to Par Public Safety Equipment for $47,900. Ford dealer advises that if we don't order the vehicles by April 3rd, we will not be able to get any in 2020. So the 3 vehicles that we plan to replace, and I think in your package I gave you the maintenance schedule. First car is a 2014 Ford Explorer with 116,670 miles, lifetime maintenance costs of $9,191. Second car is a 2014 Ford Explorer with 118,973 miles, lifetime maintenance of 6,552. And the last is a 2014 Dodge Explorer, Dodge Charger, which is our last Charger, with 132,906 miles and maintenance of 8,144. And we don't even use that on the road anymore. That's only the SRO drives it from the station to the middle school, because of the condition it's in. The current estimate we have from Lebanon Ford using the state contract is their 2020 Ford Explorer SUV has a base price of $35,700 per vehicle. These being the new hybrid models of the Ford police vehicles, which cost $3,500 more than the base vehicle. Ford estimates the hybrid vehicle will potentially save up to $3,500 per year in gas costs. So we believe the anticipated savings in gas as a result of the hybrid function of the vehicle is well worth the extra cost. And let me just pause here a second and say, when you look around for police vehicles, right now Ford is the leader and really one of the few manufacturers making police-rated, police-package vehicles, and it's pretty much the standard. There's just not a lot of choices out there. The interesting thing with the hybrid engine is not only is it green, but it's the type you don't have to plug it in. The internal combustion powers a second battery that resorts to the electric when you idle or you're stopped for long periods of time. I can't explain totally, but I know it's the internal system that powers it that cuts down on the gas usage. So we think over time that could be very good savings in the mileage and in the usage of gas. So the total request for the three cruisers is $153,678, and I'm requesting to round that up to $155,000. This was what we budgeted for this year, and the request to replace the vehicles is in line with the recommendations from the Finance Committee, given the age, miles, and maintenance costs. They recommend replacing vehicles sooner than we have in the past, 2 to 4, 3 to 5 years, rather than 5 to 7. Obviously, any equipment that we can replace and just transfer over, we will, but they have changed the design and the model of the Explorer, so we're going to have to wait and see. We will auction the vehicles off on GovDeals. This will be the first time we're auctioning off Explorers, so we're not sure what they're going to bring in. The Charger, you know, in the past, our vehicles, we've gotten about $1,500 to $3,000, so we can recoup some of the costs. So I'm going to turn it over to DC Chabali for any other information he has, because he's been leading this project.
Well, Chief, you stole my thunder there. I think you covered everything I got in here. But anyway, just a little breakdown of the pricing and a little bit about vehicle maintenance with you folks. So Chief went over the cost of these Explorers, and they have gone up in sticker price as well. So they used to be around $26,000. They've gone up to whatever is $32,000, and then you've got the additional cost for the hybrid engine. However, they're saying, Ford is saying, that with that hybrid engine, you're going to save around $3,500 per year per vehicle. So it is a pretty large savings from that fuel cost. So $3,509 is what they're saying you're going to save each year with each vehicle. So with three vehicles, you're saving $10,500 a year. So it's a pretty significant savings. Even if you don't believe Ford numbers, you're still going to probably have enough savings that it's going to be worth it to spend that extra amount of money there. So I have a list of all the equipment that goes on the cars if we want to talk about any of that or any questions about the different equipment, what it is and what we use it for. But the most important sheet, I think, is this one. As you can see, if you look at the 2019 figures, you'll notice that in that time frame of 2018, 2019, depending on the vehicle, you'll see that's right around when it hits a certain amount of mileage. That 100,000-mile mark is a pretty good figure for when you got to start looking at replacing these things. They really do start falling apart. And as you can see with car 64, which is the newest car, it's a 2016, and last year we had over $4,000 in maintenance costs for it because it's already up to 118,000 miles. So those costs on these cars are just going to continue to hit us unless we're able to replace them with some new vehicles. So, and I'll take any questions anybody might have on any of this as well.
Let's get a motion out there, and then we'll take questions.
Okay.
I move to approve the following purchase orders for the purchase of three 2020 Ford Explorers for the police department: to Lebanon Ford for $107,100 and to Par Public Safety for $47,900. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Now, discussion. Questions?
So the hybrid, I know you do a lot of sitting, speed, and just observation. So sometimes the cars are continuing to have them idling. So the hybrid
They have a stop and start feature on these as well, so you have two things. If you're stationary doing something, the car will shut off. It'll have to start back up at a certain time, depending on what equipment we're running, but we can set that all up. But it also has a feature where you stop at the traffic lights, like anybody that's got a newer car, it'll shut down. And what we found is that idling on a cruiser actually causes more damage to the engine than anything else. And some of our cars, they keep track of idle hours, but they've got thousands and thousands of idle hours on them from whatever it may be, the winter time, and they're sitting working on something or whatever the case may be. So, yes, it does have a feature to save you there as well.
I know an issue with quality equipment that you're carrying, right on, it's hard to sit in that seat. Are we getting smaller vehicles? Is that going to continue to be an issue where we're going to continue to be cramped for space?
This vehicle is actually bigger. It's wider than the previous version, hence the reason some of our equipment is not going to transfer, just because they've changed the actual size of the inside of the vehicle. So it's actually a little bit bigger, to answer your question. Yep.
I spoke with the chief this week. Thank you for all of the information that you provided us prior to the meeting. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Yes. I think you covered my question, so we're good. Mr. Myers.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you for that. I have a couple more items. Unfortunately, since my computers have been down all week, I wasn't able to print out the actual documents. I hope you have this in your packet. One is a purchase order for the sanitary sewer tap fee at Delaware County. And I don't have the amount here because I don't have the purchase order with. 18-225, I hear from the audience.
Just had to find the right motion.
Okay.
18-255.
Okay. So I move to approve a purchase order to Delaware County Regional Sewer District in the amount of $18,255 for sewer tap fees at the new police facility. Is there a second?
Second, but is that 18,225?
Yeah, there's two. The motion has 255. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion on this?
No. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Bond?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries.
The next item, again, I don't have the documents in front of me. You should have a pay application number 2 for the police facility.
Okay. We do. I move to approve and authorize the release of pay application number 2 to Gutneck Construction in the amount of $331,734 for the Genoa Township Police Facility. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion?
Yeah, as you can see, there's walls going up, brick has gone up. They're still having trouble with the weather, which has prevented them from pouring the concrete. They anticipate in a couple weeks being able to pour the concrete, so they're working around that. But the shell is starting to go up, and I think they said they hope to be on a roof in April.
Correct. Wonderful.
If it stops raining in Central Ohio. Of course not. That's right, if they ever get it up. Yeah.
They have a third floor there.
Yeah.
They don't have concrete.
What's that?
They don't have the concrete, do they?
No, no. No, it's not where they can't pour it. It was either too wet or too cold.
Yeah.
All right. No other questions? We'll do roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries.
And then the last time, you should have a permanent appropriation approval for the police capital fund. This is from the change order you approved at the last meeting, encumbering the funds. Now we have to appropriate them, and I think it's about $119,428. Is that what you have there?
I have $120,000.
Then that's what it is. We rounded it up. Donna rounded it up.
Okay. I move to approve the 2020 permanent appropriations for the Police Station Capital Projects Fund Improvement of Sites in the amount of $120,000 for change order number 1 approved at the February 6th trustee meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Discussion. I don't quite understand this one.
My understanding, we approved this at the last meeting. Mm-hmm. You encumbered the money for it.
Right.
Now we're just moving it. So now it's
now we're spending
appropriate.
Got it.
So you're going to spend it.
Okay. that's where I got confused. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
All right. Any other discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. Motion carries.
And that's all I have on my agenda, unless you have any questions for me.
All right.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Fire, you're next.
Good evening. You should have a series of about five sheets for consideration for the upcoming levy. This should look pretty familiar to you. You saw pretty much these same figures back during the budget. The only differences being we have the final figures from the year end and then also what we will be collecting from the auditor's office on our current millage. We're recommending just a renewal, and in the fire rescue end, at the end of the five-year period, we're looking at $1.9 million in carryover. And then in the EMS fund, we're looking at a carryover of just under $1 million at the end of 2025 for a combined total of $2.8 million. And in the interest of strategic planning, well, first let me ask you, do you have any questions on those figures?
The only question, Gary, and you and I talked about this, I just needed some clarification. Related how that interacts with the dollars up above with the fire levy dollars.
Yeah, this is the first time that because we started EMS billing, we now have revenue coming in to that fund, and expenditures that used to be in the fire fund have been pulled out of the fire fund, and we've created our own fund because of the revenue coming in. Okay, because that revenue can only be spent on EMS items. So those funds are coming in. The EMS that we're providing has been self-sufficient. And so we'll be taking all our EMS costs out of that fund from here on out. So it'll be the same line items that you normally see in the fire budget. It's just a different line item. But all your sub funds will be the same under the same categories.
I think we have to be, from a public perception standpoint, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're able to acquire a new medic with absolutely no cost to the taxpayer. And
that's correct.
I think that's a great story to tell, and that supports the EMS billing and what potentially we can do there. But I think we're going to have to be cognizant of the fact that we may have some education to do on how that money can be used or can't be used, and that we don't end up, you know, a revenue-generating situation with the EMS that can't be used for the fire side of our program. And that's what I'm understanding, correctly? Correct? Even though our firefighters and our firefighters are cross-trained as mm-hmm. firefighters EMS,
right?
That money cannot be used for the engine or
that's correct.
Stuff along that line.
Yes, it can be used for the fire side, but it can be used for anything EMS related.
Right. So is that, and you explained this to me, I forgot, is this state law? Is this contract law? Is this contract?
State law. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So again, we don't have a whole lot of choice in that. It's state law that we have to abide.
Actually, I think it's federal law, but
okay.
I can't remember which one.
But it's not something that we.
It's not something we've come up with. No.
Right.
No.
And I think that's also an important point.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on any of the figures?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, in the interest of strategic planning. And with the police vacating their current facility, I would urge consideration of funding for some of the following needed projects, although no cost in the proposed levy documents have been included for these proposals. And if you look at the screen up here, Joe will kind of flip through some slides just to familiarize yourself. First, the existing fire department lacks needed storage space. We currently rent storage in Sunbury, and we also store a considerable amount of equipment on the floor of the apparatus bay floors. The ladder creates a trip hazard and is an eyesore. We've constantly got things all over the floor in the apparatus room. Vehicles and equipment are also outside in the weather, and that they should be stored inside for protection to, put a lot of money into these investments, and it would be a good way to protect them. I would also recommend adding an apparatus bay to the existing station for this purpose of storage of both vehicles and equipment. I'd also recommend consideration of an additional bay for the fire department mechanics. We currently have two certified emergency vehicle mechanics that perform much of the repairs on the vehicles. They are, however, limited by the lack of bay space, a lift, and heavy mechanic tools. I would recommend it specific to vehicle repairs, along with the purchase of a lift and the tools necessary to service the vehicles. These additions, in my opinion, would pay for themselves over the long run. This service may even be able to be expanded to other departments for additional savings. Our internal cost is much less than the outside vendors if you look at the labor rate hours that we currently pay. And that doesn't mean that everything could be done in-house, but a good portion of it could be. The firefighters, by policy, they work out every day. The firefighters are tactical athletes, and they train as such. They're required to do a minimum of 30 minutes of cardio and 15 minutes of weight training each day to ensure their physical fitness and job readiness. Most of them do much more than that. They currently comply with the policy by working out in the apparatus bay that lacks any climate control, and they are breathing vehicle exhaust as the vehicles enter and exit the apparatus bays. I feel they need, and I feel they deserve, a separate climate-controlled, exhaust-free space for this purpose. Then the township also owns land on the east side of the Hoover Reservoir in proximity to Sunbury and Red Bank Roads. As the east side of the reservoir continues to develop, the township should seriously consider building a substation on that land to reduce the risk of great loss. A substation on the east side of the Red Reservoir would considerably reduce the response times to that area and portions of the west side to better serve the residents. Currently, emergency responses to the east side of the reservoir can be in excess of 15 minutes in some areas. Couple that with the arduous access for areas like the Lake of the Woods, mitigating any emergency incident is difficult at best. And even though the current proposed levy figures do not provide for a full 6 months of the operating expenses going forward in 2026, you know how we try to hold 50% in case something happens. As I stated previously, none of these projects have been budgeted for in this current proposal. However, I feel that some of it could, utilizing carryovers, some of these projects could be funded and need to be funded and move forward on. And as such, I recommend a renewal of 5.5. Any questions?
Questions for Chief Honeycutt? I think.
Okay.
Again, I think I speak for my colleagues. No decision tonight. We'll mull over it.
What?
No.
All right. That's all I have right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Okay. Let's see. Maintenance.
First item is appropriation for the vehicles that you passed last month. We forgot to move some money to pay for them.
Funny how that happens. Okay. This is a supplemental appropriation one, right?
Yep.
Okay. I move to approve the following supplemental appropriation from account number 2031-330-420-0007 in the amount of $15,316.50 to account number 2031-760-750-0000 in the amount of $15,316.50 for the purchase of vehicles approved at the February 6th trustee meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, Ms. Vaughn, you can have that one.
That's awesome.
Sorry. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Competition's tough here.
I know, you're just quicker than that.
Any discussion on this? Roll call?
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes, motion carries. Okay, and next?
The next one is the appropriation for the upcoming OPWC project. There is 11 catch basins and about five or six places of curb that need to be redone before OPWC comes in and takes over the project on Highland Lakes Avenue.
Okay, and that's the OPWC prep work for $50,000?
No, you got to amend it first.
Oh, wait. Got it. Sorry. I move to amend the 2020 permanent appropriations for the gasoline tax fund improvement of sites from $250,000 to $350,000. Is there a second?
Second.
You? Any questions or discussion?
Go ahead.
Oh, no. We're good. It takes.
Okay.
We can discuss. No discussion.
Roll call. Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries. Mr. Gebhardt will return. Okay. And with that, I move to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $50,000 for OPWC prep work. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. And any discussion on this one? Hearing none?
Is there any, I don't know if I asked you this week when I talked to you, Bob. Do you have a projected date for this?
Yeah, we have to have the prep work done before July 1st because that's when OPWC comes in. So we'll be doing it in May or June.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions on this?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries.
The next item is a purchase order for curb sign program, the county bid, and we're anticipating up to $15,000. Since then, when I wrote this, now they're saying it's not going to be more than $13,000, but I didn't change the $15,000. We just won't spend it. It's our share of the project the county's bidding.
I move to approve a purchase order to Paul Sherry in the amount of $15,000 for curb signage on township roads. Is there a second?
That's wrong.
That's wrong.
Yeah, it should be Delaware County Engineer.
I will amend that, the purchase order, to Delaware County Engineer.
Office, yeah.
Office of the Delaware County Engineer.
Yeah.
So amended. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. I'm not sure I understand this curb signage thing. I know what a curb is, and I know when the speed limit decreases, but I don't know what this is.
The county is replacing the curb sign within the township that won't meet the regulation for the curb signs when the new thing goes into effect. And this is our share of six different streets we have curb signs on that the contractor will come in and re-sign it the way it's supposed to be to meet the new regs.
Okay.
I've talked with Bob, and I also contacted Doug at the engineer's office, and it sounds like it's state mandated.
It is state
it's
mandated.
State bid. They have to do the work. We can't get anybody else to do it, and we really don't have a choice. We just have to pay for it.
More or less, that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I understood it. I guess what I didn't understand is that some of these have speed limit changes. And who determined that? Again, the county?
Again, the county.
Okay.
They're the only ones that can initiate speed changes.
Some of these are going down. Watch your speed, folks.
They can recommend it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so on the speed limit, so the issue we've had in the past is there have been some streets and other roads where, you know, residents have actually requested speeds to be reduced. And the county said, everything's fine. So what's been the basis for these reductions, and how did that come about?
I was just asking Bob. He said those signs are the orange speed reduction signs. It's a recommended so that you don't fly through the curve. You ever been on a 55 mile an hour and then there's a sharp turn and it says there's the yellow or orangish signs that say 45 or whatever?
So this isn't the actual speed limit.
No, I think those are what the rank recommended to not fall through the intersection.
So you don't take the curve at the normal speed of the road. It's an advisory sign. You should slow down to a recommended speed, and that's it. Yep.
Yeah, they're not enforceable by the police. If you're going 55 and a recommended 45, it's an orange sign or whatever, you can't be cited for 55 there.
Until you miss the curve. That's a separate issue.
Yes.
Okay.
So the county is going to be replacing these signs.
Actually, the contractor that got the bid was MP Dory.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you. I was totally confused on some of this. So, any further discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries.
The next item is accept the resignation of Ben Conklin.
I move to accept the resignation of Maintenance Department employee Benjamin Conklin, effective February 21st, 2020. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries.
The next item is to rehire of Seth Saker in Buildings and Grounds to replace Ben.
Okay. I move to rehire Buildings and Grounds employee Seth Sagar at $18 per hour, effective March 9th, 2020. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. And any discussion on this?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion carries.
And the last thing is accept a donation for a tree at McNamara, the Red Barn. In the amount of $365.
Okay, I move to graciously accept the donation of $365 from Connie and Lawrence Bennett for the donation of a tree in McNamara Park in memory of their grandparents, Otta and Howard Bolton. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. And any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. We will move to announcements. March 9th is the Zoning Commission meeting. March 11th, Police Advisory Committee. March 19th, Communications Advisory Committee. March 24th, Board of Zoning Appeals. March 28th, the Easter Egg Hunt. April 1st, Parks Advisory Committee. And the next trustee meeting will be April 2nd, 2020. Session at 8:01 p.m. to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. We are now in executive session at 8:01 p.m. Thank you. I move to return from executive session to the regular trustee meeting at 9:11 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. We are now back in regular session. I will move to schedule
a special trustee meeting on Tuesday, March 10th at 6:30 p.m. in the Genoa Township Conference Room to discuss committee appointments, personnel issue, and contract review and possible acceptance. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. Motion carries. Any other business? Hearing none. I move to adjourn this meeting at 9:12 p.m.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. We are now adjourned. Thank you.